If you're looking to save some money on your wireless plan, take a look at Visible Wireless. They're a transparent wireless carrier with nothing to hide. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, where you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. One line wireless, just $25 a month with taxes and fees included. That's unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Switch now at Visible.com. You shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. Like Visible, the wireless company making wireless visible.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
What's happening, friends? Welcome to Unlocked. It's episode 400 of IGN's weekly Xbox podcast. 400, that's a lot of...
It's a nice round number.
That's a lot of weeks. I'm Ryan McCaffrey. Coming up on this week's show, some big rumors swirling about Project Scarlet and that it may no longer be two Scarlet consoles, but rather just one. We'll talk all about that. Plus, more big news for Remedy and Alan Wake. You're going to want to stay tuned for this. Plus, EA's executives making a gesture of sorts in the wake of a disappointing year. Glenn Schofield, he of Dead Space and Call of Duty fame, is set up shop at a new studio in a place you probably wouldn't expect. All that and more coming up on Unlocked, episode 400.
Podcast Unlocked.
I still got it. That was a good intro, right? That's 400 of these. I mean, they're not all mine. Most of them are. I think 57 or 58 was my first episode.
When you took over?
Yeah, when I joined. I remember I did an Unlocked episode the first day. My first day here, yeah. I came right in and said, all right, we're doing this.
That's sort of the IGN way.
Yeah, like right into the fire.
You start during E3 or yep. You start. Like, when I started, they were like, hey, here's your podcast show. It's all about Smite. And I was like, I don't know what a podcast is.
Well, I'm Ryan McCaffrey, as I mentioned, alongside me, Brandon Tyrell.
Hello, hello.
And Destin Legarry.
Bam!
There it is. Everybody.
Waiting for it.
Hello.
Got it. Good to hear from you both. Miranda Sanchez is on assignment covering the Anime Expo, which I told her before she left yesterday, I'm mad at the Anime Expo for her. Every year, apparently, it's not only over 4th of July weekend, it starts on the 4th of July. Oof. And it's a convention in the United States.
Yeah.
It's actually at the LA Convention Center where E3 was.
Yeah,
so she gets this freakish deja vu.
It's like exactly a month after E3.
Yeah. And she was thinking, oh, you know, she had a sound theory, which was that, you know, people are already taking time off, so they're more likely to attend and the attendance of the conference is higher. Like, and then I told her, well, my cynical view, not to add on to hers, not to replace or take away from it, is I'll bet the convention center rate is a lot cheaper on 4th of July because no one else wants it.
Maybe.
Really?
I don't know. So.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I have that like, totally backwards.
Like everybody has vacation on July 4th. Like for most people, it's a convention to go and spend time with your friends, right? But for us, it's work.
Like, well, we got
to go and cover it, but she loves anime. So
she does.
It's sort of a weird mix where most people are probably just going to have a good time. But I'm surprised you would think that it would be cheaper on July 4th. I think it'd be more expensive, wouldn't it? Tourists, you know?
I wonder how many other conventions are vying for that lucrative.
That's
July
what
4th
I'm saying.
Weekend.
Like, who's.
Like a guns and ammo.
Who's knocking down the door? Yeah.
But
yeah.
A monster truck rally?
It's
Sundays in the West Hall.
Bigfoot, Gravedigger, Bald Eagle Con 2019, this July 4th. Freedom's
actually,
gonna ring.
If I would love to watch a monster truck rally inside the convention center, if not for the fumes that would kill everyone.
Yeah.
Since it's a.
They would install
enclosed.
Fans.
They would install.
You would hope.
Oh, my goodness. Well, gentlemen, it is episode 400, and I have learned in my 7 years here at IGN, I'm not good at milestone shows. Greg Miller was always great at those. He was so good at those. I'm sure he still is, marking, you know, since Kinda Funny is a good – they've probably had some good milestones by now after, what, 4 or 5 years. But, yeah, I managed to do 201. What was the best episode ever with Phil Spencer, Seamus Blackley, and Peter Moore. And we had I thought we had a great show last week with Rod Ferguson.
Yeah, 399.
Yeah, 399. But
just keeping him on the toes.
I can't do it. I can't seem to hit the actual milestone show itself. I managed to get Elon Musk for episode 200 of my Tesla podcast, but I can't seem to make it work here for whatever reason. So if you were hoping or expecting for some big, super cool thing today, I'm sorry. It didn't happen.
But we're definitely going all out for 500. So you just have to hang tight for 100 more episodes. So.
You know what's the yes, part of the problem? No, just go with it.
Just go with it.
Our milestones, at least the even like 100 ones, since since we're pretty good about staying religious with the show almost every week, except for the end of the year. I guess we'll usually skip one over the holidays.
Yeah,
take a break. But they always fall right around E3. Like 200 was right before E3. 201 was supposed to be 200, but the timing didn't work out.
That makes sense. 50-ish
yeah, right.
a year.
Yeah. I guess we try to do I guess we try to do 51 shows a year.
Yeah.
Usually it hopefully works.
We have to miss more than just one a year,
well,
right?
But we just plan. We only plan to ever miss one a year. The one at the end of the year. Anyway, no one cares about this. This is a boring conversation.
Hey, everyone. Let's talk about podcasting logistics.
Podcast schedules.
Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, let's. We got plenty of news to get to this week. That's the nice part is I guess we're far enough away from E3
things
are starting to pick up. So let's do that right now. You don't like the bumper?
I totally forgot about the song.
Sting.
So yeah. I totally forgot about the sting.
World News Tonight with Ryan McCaffrey.
Well, yeah, it's, you know, there have been, but then last week there wasn't because we just had Rod in the back in the proper studio, which we then immediately, we literally tore down the house.
Yeah.
We tore the walls down. It was like, did you ever watch, what was that cool but short-lived HBO show about the record company guy in the 70s?
Oh, yes. I do know what you're talking about. I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah.
Dead Air.
No. Anyway, there, like in the pilot of that, he like goes to this nightclub and it just – the house gets literally rocked down. That's what we did last week. We rocked the house.
It was a long walk
with
Rod.
Wasn't it? Especially since I couldn't remember the name of the show and neither could you.
How engaging. if you're not aware, IGN, our headquarters in San Francisco, we're building out new studios, four new studios. So we had one studio that has been basically our functional home for seven, eight years now.
Yeah, I think it was built before I got here. Because, Destin, I think you started a number of months before I did, right?
It's always been here.
Yeah.
Well, it's not, always.
I thought
always,
it was built like, out for...
And it always
I've been
will.
Here 8 years, so it's been here at least
so there you
eight.
Go. It's been,
yeah. And, yeah.
So IGN Studio is no more. It is now IGN Studios. And hopefully we move over there sooner than later.
For those of you who really like the video episode, and we hear all of you on YouTube, believe me, on the YouTube comments.
And Twitter.
And you're annoyed with the little closet space setup we have going on right now, you'll probably be happy, I hope, in another short number of weeks' time. I don't want to put a date.
Might be next week. Might be the week after.
Hopefully.
They're really close to finishing.
Yeah. So four new studios. We'll have a dedicated space for podcasting, which should make things much faster, much easier to...
And much prettier.
Sit down and set up, and it'll look great. Yeah.
Yes, indeed. All right. Let's do some news here. Therat.com, which has a pretty decent track record with Microsoft hardware rumors specifically over the years, they are saying that Xbox Scarlett, Project Scarlett, might now, in fact, just be one console rather than two. So it was Anaconda was going to be the high-end one, and Lockhart, the lower-spec cheaper model. And they are claiming, so the site claims developers were potentially having trouble focusing on consoles with two different sets of specs and were putting a focus on the lower end Lockhart specs instead of the higher end Anaconda, ultimately sacrificing performance in the process. Additionally, the site says Microsoft's Project X Cloud streaming service might be a factor in removing the cheaper console, as it could theoretically stream next-gen quality performance through a slew of low-power devices, making Lockhart a redundancy. Ultimately, Thurrott suggests Microsoft is streamlining the next generation of Xbox by keeping Scarlett as one console.
I fully support this. This sounds totally fine.
Doesn't it?
Like, you know, splitting your SKUs is a weird move at this day and age. Yeah.
Thank God.
Now, to be fair, I guess wouldn't quite be the devil's advocate position in this, but the 360, as we think of that as Microsoft's dominant console that ruled the world, it was a two SKU console.
Wasn't it a three?
Not at first. It was premium and arcade.
You had the arcade, with no hard drive.
Premium and arcade. So, and no one wanted the lower end one.
No.
No one.
But realistically, it was, correct me if I'm wrong, did the arcade version, you could still put a hard drive in?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could buy a hard drive later. It can, you had to like buy the little drives.
So it was technically one SKU, just one came with, the premium came with a hard drive.
That's,
and the arcade did not.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, you're right. The consoles were the same spec.
Yes.
But they were effectively, you know, it probably had the same effect in the marketplace, what Microsoft's maybe thinking here of. Now, granted, that wouldn't have confused developers because they're coding to the same box like Thurrott's reporting here. But, yeah, I mean, nobody wanted the arcade SKU. Certainly, it was, I think, $299 for that one and $399, and it was definitely $399 for the premium. But, yeah, I mean, to me, this feels like Microsoft is heading off what could have been
a repeat.
Massive, like, almost Xbox One caliber mistake in that if they got wind or, you know, that developers were coding for the lower end one, which you as a developer makes sense in that, you know, you're lowest common denominator and then you can scale from there. It's just inherently putting the Scarlett at a disadvantage to games that are hard-coded for PS5, for which what will presumably be a, you know, close to Lockhart, give or take, level.
Yeah,
this could have been a real bad idea had it been seen to fruition.
They talk about xCloud in here, and I think that that's a reasonable reason to not have the lower SKU, because basically you could have a standard Xbox and play high-end games on your standard Xbox if it's like an app. Like, you don't need a high-end box. That's the whole purpose of having this cloud-based gaming service that they're developing. So the redundancy angle is sound. It makes sense to me.
Yeah, there were a lot of rumors kind of swirling around about Lockhart, right? Like, it was going to be effectively the all-digital version of whatever the next-gen Xbox, the next box, is going to be. But yeah, Project X Cloud seemingly makes that redundant. I think you also brought up an awesome point, which is that anytime you release a new console in two different SKUs, you automatically introduce inherently just market confusion, right? Moms or grandmas or dads or grandpas who want to go buy a console for their kid, like, they don't necessarily, they're not, you know, fully up to it. So maybe up to speed on it. So if they're looking at, well, this one's $100 cheaper, why don't we just buy this one? Like, that could potentially, you know, cause people to not quite have the same experience of a truly next gen box. And then, of course, like you said, developers, if Xbox is in a really, really great place right now, and in fact, it's really one of the only feathers in their cap where the Xbox One X is just hands down the best place to play third-party games.
Absolutely.
Mm. So if you introduce two different SKUs and developers start building, you know, Activision isn't going to put the time and resources to make the best optimized version of Call of Duty, whatever.
That's true.
For two different things. But yes, they'll be different and one will be better than the other for sure, but if you're trying to compare a Xbox SKU of a game versus whatever's going to come out and be on the PS5, like, you're really, really, really running the risk to lose that position of power where mm-hmm. you are just the best console to play. You know, maybe you don't have the exclusives. Hopefully that changes next gen. But right now, you know, Call of Duty, Battlefield, whatever it is, the Xbox is the best place to play it. And Microsoft would be crazy, in my opinion, to sort of give that up. They have the raw power right now. And that's one thing that's sort of driving them and keeping them going.
Yeah, I mean, when you're going to be facing what is almost certainly one PlayStation 5 device,
absolutely,
to have two different spec Xboxes going up against that just seems like asking for confusion and asking for trouble.
There just seems like more reasons not to do it than there are to do it. And, you know, smarter people than us are in a boardroom somewhere going like, well, actually, no, it makes a lot of business sense. But I'm really happy. I'm like one focused expression of whatever Xbox is going to be in the future.
Well, and I'll go back to so I read Robbie Bach's book. That he came around a book tour. He was one of my first unfiltered guests back after I launched that show, which is, gosh, like, what is that, 3 years ago now, something like that. But and so I read his book, and it was very interesting because it talks about sort of the first half of the book's about Xbox and the second half of the book's about sort of his life after Xbox. And but what's interesting in the in that front half that's Xbox related is you know, he starts with original Xbox, but then when he talks about the 360 plan, and that and their whole plan was to get the hardcore gamers on board first, and then from there, if you could get them, then you could add other features, things like a Netflix app, sure, and other sort of more
the all-in-one
wide-reaching things that could bring in more people. But you had to get those, the early adopters, the hardcore gamers who would buy it and use it and love it and tell their friends, which is exactly what happened with this generation with the PlayStation 4. Mm-hmm. Is, you know, the narrative was set real early, and all the hardcore people went and they went PlayStation this mm-hmm. generation, and Sony never looked back. And to me, this is a situation where maybe Microsoft still comes with a Lockhart way later. You know, maybe it's a year later or 2 years later, and they get their foot in. Their narrative is all about Anaconda
that
and
first impression.
Bam, power. This thing is super powerful. Sure, it's $500, whatever, but I'm sure it's going to be the same price as the PS5.
I imagine they got to be, yeah.
And, you know, this thing it's just muscle that's made for gaming. And then later, after you've established the core audience, you could come in with, oh, okay, well, we've got here's a lower spec version as well.
Absolutely.
That's cheaper that, you know, maybe now we can get some other people in there, some, you know, cast the wider net a little bit. So this feels like a thing, is what I'm trying to say, is that that's could still be a good idea down the road.
I think two things are going to happen in the future. You know, you're talking a lot about power and, you know, the best console to play third-party games, all that's true. But if xCloud or Stadia end up being successful, then they're just going to make consoles sort of pointless. Like, they're not really going to be necessary.
Not for a while.
But if they are successful and they're able to deliver what they're saying they can, I don't think that's true.
Yeah.
But if they are, then eventually, 5-10 years down the road, consoles are kind of just going to be a place that you stream your games to. It's not really going to be as often that you're upgrading and such. Inversely, if they fail, I mean, maybe it'll take a little bit longer. I don't think they're quite where they need to be yet. There's still latency and stuff playing Gears of War and Halo. There's latency on the input based on what we played at E3 in that environment. Mm-hmm. But it's close. It's close.
I mean, it's also regional, right? Like America's broadband infrastructure does not support a total move to streaming.
No, especially not for 8K. Yeah. And then, well, you know,
bandwidth caps and 4G LTE versus the 5G we don't have yet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
I think you're absolutely right. Microsoft has proven this generation in particular, woe to many who are looking for software, but they are very good at iterative hardware. I mean, how many SKUs have they released this generation? Four?
A lot.
Maybe. The One, the S, and the X.
And the all digital?
Yeah, four.
Oh, that
four.
New one, yeah.
Yeah, so four total. I mean, look, they released the all digital, and I remember, like, rewind to what, 6 months ago when we're talking about this, less than that, 3 months ago, we're like, what is the point of this box? I don't understand it.
Right.
Now I do.
Test
the water and also set something up for Project X Cloud, right? Like you are now, look, Stadia runs off an Ultracast, which is basically a thumb drive you plug into your TV. If you buy an all digital version of whatever the next box is for $200 less, $100 less, $150 less, whatever it ends up being, then you just buy into Project X Cloud and you still have, you know, you still have your internal hard drive that's admittedly going to be fairly small, I'm sure, but you can still download your digital games and play them like that as well.
Yeah, you know, the
it makes sense.
It always there always used to be kind of it's not a saying, I guess, but sort of an adage that the most powerful console was never the one that won.
I mean, the Wii kind of set that trend out, right?
Yeah, but even I think you could probably go back. Like even I guess the PS1 probably wasn't as powerful as like the Atari Jaguar from a raw technical kind of perspective. But anyway,
yeah,
I actually think that's not true anymore, and I think the raw power matters a lot more. I think this generation showed us that when you saw the beginning of the generation of people just side by siding stuff at 900p on Xbox One,
yeah. Yeah.
Versus 1080p with, you know, maybe some nicer stuff going on as well on PS4, and then carried forward Xbox One X, definitively, you know, Red Dead Redemption 2 being probably the quintessential example of like this is
you play that on Xbox.
Yeah. Objectively a higher performing game on an Xbox One X than it is on a PS4 Pro. So, yeah, I think Microsoft they've thankfully stayed clear enough in their vision that they're like, no, we need to be right, if not number one in power, like just right, you know, indistinguishably close.
Right.
So
I mean, you have to be. Otherwise, like you said at the very beginning of the segment,
yeah, the narrative runs away from
you. Run the risk of losing the narrative right out of the gate again.
And yeah.
I'm not going to say Microsoft can't afford to do that again. I mean, that company,
they're fine.
they're not going out of business anytime soon.
That's fine. It would really, really maybe be not a death blow, but it would be bad for the brand.
Well, it would undermine the efforts that Phil Spencer and the Xbox team have been making over the last four something years of, you know, rebuilding the entire brand and, you know, investing in what, 8 new studios, something like that.
Purchasing a bunch more. Yeah.
Well, total is. From
oh,
creating
total? Or, no, it's in the
No. I mean, but since just over the last 4 years.
Oh, you know, yes, yeah.
It was 7 last year. Double Fine this year.
Yeah, the you know, preparation 8, for next gen.
Right. All it would just undermine all that stuff.
Yeah.
If you're
Game Pass,
yep.
xCloud,
backwards compatibility,
the messaging that they're really selling right now, which is yeah. like Xbox is your home for gaming. It would be equivalent to like a stumble at the finish line, I think. They are in such a good place right now. And sure, you could have the exclusive talk all day long, as much as you want, but Xbox Live is what really changed last generation.
Yes.
And they are
totally right.
They are setting themselves up to have the infrastructure to really be, and I'll probably end up eating my words on this, but like the best ecosystem for gaming for the next generation. I mean, it's just by the sheer volume of different services they provide, you know?
It's funny. I almost think of it, you said the end of the race. I almost think of it as, at this point, it's like a relay race.
Yeah.
Where each generation hands off.
Baton.
Go for like 360s, like just booking it around the track.
Usain Bolt.
And then you hand off to... It's like Don Matrick in a tiny shorts and a tank top standing there like ready to grab the baton, and he's like, he just grabs it and just eats it right into the pavement.
Yeah.
Just face bloodied, everyone's laughing.
Yeah.
And then he tries to get up and trips over his own shoelaces.
Ugh.
And then they say, "Listen, Don, just get off the track. We're gonna sub in a new. Yeah. We're gonna sub in a new runner here.
Phil Spencer is like the dad in the stands who sees his son fall and then goes down and picks him up and walks him across the finish line. Like, hang your head high, son.
And now finally, got some good.
In reality, he kind of pushed him down before the finish line and said, "You know what? I'm just gonna handle this."
And then they've got some good form now. They're running a steady race. Getting some momentum, and they're getting ready to hand off that baton again.
They're a good two lengths ahead right now.
Yeah, they're in good shape, so it's just good handoff.
Just firm grips. Firm grips, guys. wipe the sweat off your palms before you do this.
Before we move on from this segment, we're inevitably going to talk about this again probably many times, but what do you guys think for if we're down to one console now? What is the name, the official name of Scarlet?
I really like Anaconda.
It will not be that. I can pretty much. We do this. We've done this now. This is the third generation we've done this ever since the Xbox 360 wasn't going to be called the Xbox 2.
Yeah.
So I never would have seen 360 coming. I hated 360 when I heard it.
Yeah.
And then. About like 2 weeks later, I was just numb to it and didn't care anymore, and it was fine. And then the 360 just became like we don't even have to say Xbox; you just say the 360.
Yeah,
everybody knows what you're talking about. But you don't say the one; that's Neo. Yeah, nobody
that's
says
true.
The one.
That's true.
So you know,
there is no console.
There are inevitably the ones that have been on the list. For the last two generations.
I mean, it was going to be 720 and
Xbox Next, Xbox Infinite. Yeah. What do you guys, got any good ideas?
I mean,
what this thing should be called?
With Halo Infinite being a launch title, it would make sense to have it be the Xbox Infinite this time around.
Oh, I like that.
Kind of like, I mean, Nintendo always did, you know, like Super Mario World on the, well, I guess that's a bad example because Mario was always super, not always, but. Effectively, always Super Mario Brothers, but like
yeah, in the beginning,
Super. What were some of the? There were like a million games that were Super Star Wars on the Super NES. Super Contra, thank you.
I don't remember either of those games.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, I was a Genesis kid.
We'll just keep talking, Destiny. It's fine.
Oh, I'm sorry. How dare me?
You take your better EA Sports games on the Genesis, and we'll just wait. No, I had a Genesis also.
Joe Montana, Quarterback Club. I loved it.
Super Metroid.
Oh, no. 94. Look back to pass. That was
touchdown.
So that was like just incredible at the time.
I just love that you guys are giving me shit talking about a Sega console in lieu of a Nintendo console on an Xbox podcast.
Just
breaking your balls. I like Infinite. I like just Xbox. Like drop all the monikers.
What about like Nextbox?
No,
and I'm
no,
still
I don't like
I'm still pushing for this.
It's also a magazine or was. I don't know if they're
Next,
what
still Nextbox.
There was a magazine called Nextbox, I believe.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? I mean, come on. All kidding aside, who knows? Like, if they were smart, they'd call it the Xbox 6. So, I don't know. I mean, it's not going to be it can't be the Xbox 2.
I mean, this is a company that skipped 9 altogether. Just went from Windows 8 to Windows 10.
Yeah, well,
so they're not above such a thing.
They're not going to call it the Xbox 2, right?
No.
Like, they can't.
No.
That would be, marketing-wise, that would be putting yourself at such a disadvantage.
Yeah, they're going to distance themselves so hard from the Xbox One.
That's a really good point as well. What if they just call it Xbox?
Well, that's what Destin was just saying.
Yeah.
And I like Infinite.
I remember I made that argument last time, I still think it's a good argument.
My logic is that it's like a reset for them.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think they would go into that with like, this is a new generation and we're kind of resetting, learning from our mistakes, and we're launching right with the new Xbox.
That's just so interesting.
Colloquially, it'll be new Xbox.
I don't know how marketing teams or brand managers or any of that stuff works, but I imagine they sit down and they're like, okay, we need a name that encompasses everything this is going to do. It's for hardcore gamers. It'll be the most powerful console. It's the best place to play your games. It encompasses great value in Game Pass. How do you define
that? And when you type it into Google, it doesn't mean something horribly offensive in another language.
Oh, yeah. That's
in another culture.
There's that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a real thing.
We want to avoid that.
You got to not do that.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I mean, Xbox seems like the hard reset, like the this is the,
I think
the reemergence of the brand.
The only issue with that one is what happens when they're almost certainly, like, I would bet a month's worth of lunches on it that that there will be another mid-cycle refresh for that console.
Sure.
You know, what do you call that then? Have the Xbox, and then what's, I mean, I don't know. I guess Apple
did it.
What if
they blow our minds? It's the X circle. It's just a round console.
I mean, yeah, Apple did it with
iPad.
That one
fell flat.
I like
Infinity as an alternative.
Infinity?
Yeah, you start.
As opposed to
Xbox Infinity, Xbox Infinite?
Infinite, yeah.
Wasn't Infinity the one that we'd thought we had on good authority from a developer last time?
Maybe.
Heading into this generation. I feel like that was the one. And then we suspected later that Microsoft just told developers the wrong one in case they leaked it.
That could be too, like getting ahead of the curve. It could also be the fact that, I mean, these discussions go on for years. And at one point, they were leaning pretty heavily toward Infinity. And somebody was having a drink or lunch with their friend and was like, oh, yeah, I think it's going to be Infinity. Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
Looking up thesaurus words for Infinity.
And then it changed throughout.
Because then you can do your logo as the Xbox logo with the Infinity symbol.
Man.
That'd be cool. I mean, you could still do that even if you called it Infinite, too. You could still get away with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
I like Infinite.
I honestly,
it feels good. Especially, I like the Halo synergy too, because you know, Microsoft hasn't really been able to achieve that synergy with Halo because they haven't had it at a platform launch in forever.
It also works well with the idea of xCloud.
That's a great point. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, that's a great point.
Although
infinite possibilities.
Yeah, I think that's probably as close to the cloud as they want to get, as far as branding goes. Right. Yeah.
It works well with the other messaging that they want to do around the console.
Yeah. Just 2013, you know, when they debuted, it was the always-on generation, right? The all-in generation. And I think they are going to be very, very careful about positioning themselves as this is exactly the same experience that you know and love. And if you want to buy into more of our ecosystem in the cloud, then that's on you. But they're not going to sell that. Like that is not going to be their first.
Yeah. Nintendo came out and called something a Wii, and it sold better than anything else. So,
yeah, maybe this whole conversation is pointless. It doesn't really matter.
No. It's interesting, but yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, it's just for fun. All right, I think we're all feeling pretty good about Infinite, though. We'll have to see.
Like
Bookmark
Infinite.
It. Episode 400.
Xbox
come
Infinite.
Back in, oh, 8 to 10 months or so when they officially announce
this thing. So soon.
It will. I mean, assuming they do an event ahead of E3 like they did last generation.
Like a March or May event.
There's no reason they won't. I mean, they've already been talking about it. Mm-hmm. So they're not going to just wait till E3.
Yeah,
there'll be an event.
The debut prior to E3, the full deep dive at E3.
Exactly.
On sale fall 2020.
Yep. Yeah, it was. Now, last generation, Sony they unveiled the PlayStation 4 in February of 2013. And then Microsoft sat idle until May.
See, even them getting out ahead again.
Exactly. I mean, that was, you know, that's all anybody talked about was the PS4 for 3 months until Microsoft came and then they fell on their faces at the TV event. So
I actually just watched that video again.
I mean,
9 million views on YouTube.
I would expect that Microsoft won't. It'll be sooner rather than later. They're not going to wait till May when E3 is in June.
Yeah, I agree.
It'll be earlier in 2020, I think.
And we know Sony's already positioning. They're getting ready to start talking about it.
Yeah.
I mean, look, like just, what was it, 2 months ago? That Wired article came out. Was it Wired or was it?
Yeah, it was Wired.
Was it Wired? Where they
with Mark Cerny?
Mark Cerny, just super kind of high level.
Mm-hmm.
And it dominated the news cycle for 2 to 3 weeks. Like that's all. That was... By anything with the word PS5 in it was by and large the best traffic on our site.
Right.
For that period.
I'm incredibly curious about their tech, and I haven't heard much about Xbox's tech comparatively. So their hard drive on the PlayStation 5 is able to load a game faster than an SSD on a computer.
Well, Microsoft appears to be doing the same thing. They talked about it at E3.
Mm-hmm.
They're I think they're both employing similar tech.
But we haven't seen that timing test that we saw from PlayStation.
That's true.
That was leaked.
That's very true.
And extrapolating on that, I tried a test with Grand Theft Auto where I used a PlayStation 4 standard with mm-hmm. Spider-Man, a PlayStation 4 standard with like an SSD, and then a PC with GTA installed with an M2 drive. And none of them could load the game that fast. An M2 drive is like no loading time. It's like one of the fastest hard drives you can buy right now. So whatever proprietary drive Sony is developing to reduce load times is incredibly impressive. And I'm really curious to see where Xbox's, I assume M2 SSD style drive, is going to land compared to where Sony's ended up landing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wonder, too, if it's easier for them. And again, I am not a technical wizard or anything. Destin, you know way more about this than I do. But when you buy parts that are then used to assemble a computer, they're not specifically made for each
exactly.
other. Exactly. So well, there is still some loss right there, right?
Cause actually, usually when you buy like a motherboard, you want to buy a very specific RAM type. It comes with a RAM list of like what you're supposed to buy.
Okay.
Yeah, and you can buy other stuff. But as I discovered with my process, I'm like, oh, I want to get the biggest RAM stick. And it actually doesn't.
Nice.
It wasn't compatible with the board, so the board couldn't never boot. And I had a huge headache. And then a buddy of mine that builds computers regularly, he's like, make sure you buy RAM off the approved vendor list. And then as soon as I did that, everything works great. And the computer's pretty sweet now.
But to the original point, Sony is building a machine where they know every single one of these machines will have the exact same
exactly. parts. And they're called custom built for one purpose, mm-hmm. which PCs just can't be.
Yeah, and Xboxes are Radeon, or however you say it,
for the
graphics drivers. Mm-hmm. It has been forever, basically. And then,
well, since the 360, the original Xbox had an NVIDIA in it.
Yeah, well, AMD.
They're also a hardware company, so
yeah.
they know how to partner well.
AMD is in the PS5 or PS4 as well, right?
Did you say Microsoft's a hardware company or Sony? Who are you talking about?
Ooh, both?
Oh, yeah, actually both.
I mean,
make hardware.
They do, but mm-hmm. Microsoft's a software company.
That's true.
Well,
like with Windows.
Microsoft.
Sony's a hardware company.
Microsoft is a conglomerate.
They are now.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they do everything. But yeah, I think AMD came through with just like the lowest bid, right? And they.
And for both of them.
Yeah.
I mean, the AMD powered, you know, the PS4 and the Xbox One. Mm-hmm. And they're in. I guess we know for sure that they're in the Scarlet, right? Thought that was.
I believe so. I have to go back
somebody,
and check.
Yeah,
I read an article that was basically like NVIDIA owns the majority of the market share for PC, right? But AMD is maintaining their foothold in that industry because they mass manufacture for consoles.
Yeah, the competitors are AMD on graphics cards and NVIDIA, and basically nobody else.
Yeah.
And then
two-party system.
Yeah, CPU, it's Intel and AMD.
Mm-hmm.
So not only do they do graphics cards, they also do other components
mm-hmm.
that'll like Intel and NVIDIA are separate
processors,
companies.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's interesting. And then RAM's all over the place. Like AMD doesn't make RAM.
It's because Intel's the leader in that industry as well, right?
In RAM?
No, in processors.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so you have NVIDIA, the leader in the GPU,
mm-hmm.
Intel, leader in the CPU. But AMD is sort of second place in both of those industries.
Mm-hmm.
Not a bad place to be.
Yeah, well, it goes back.
Yeah.
Nintendo, right? Like the Wii. The Wii was everybody's second console. You owned mm-hmm. an Xbox, or you owned a PlayStation, and a Wii.
Right.
And so, if you're number two for everybody, you're number one overall. Right.
It's a weird logic, but it works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
Fun talk.
Enough of this. let's keep the fun rolling, though. Alan Wake. Alana's not here to. Tell us how much she hates the game, thankfully, so we can celebrate it.
Cool.
Sorry, Alana. It's a great
game.
What?
I got a confession, you guys.
Oh, no.
I've never played Alan Wake.
Okay. Well, never playing it's different than not liking it.
Wow.
I mean, I probably hopped in and played the intro, but I've never, like, played through the whole
game. I think it holds up pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's because I think it's a slower-paced sort of thematic experience.
It's a single-player, story-driven game. And people want more of those on Xbox. So if you never played Alan Wake, go play it. It's compatible.
Yeah.
So what did they say, though, specifically? Because they were sort of being cheeky about this.
Remedy, the developer of Alan Wake, has acquired the publishing rights back from Microsoft. This is in a report from Global Newswire, which is over in Europe. Remedy has just received a one-time payment of 2.5 million euros for royalties on previously released games. In relation to this, they note, the publishing rights of Alan Wake games are reverted to Remedy, meaning they went back to Remedy. So now, earlier this year, Remedy had explained that they do own the rights to the IP, mm-hmm. but they had said it's never quite as simple as that. So Microsoft always had
the publishing,
a foothold there, and that is no longer the case. So the full control, full and total control of Alan Wake is now back in Remedy's own hands. So start spinning up your fan theories for what Alan Wake 2 could look like, because that game, you know, if we're lucky, maybe that's the project that they launch into after Control, which is out soon.
Yeah.
The game's going to be out in 2 months.
Wasn't there a video that they released that they're like, it could come anywhere? Implying that it could also come to PlayStation.
I would imagine that mm-hmm. Alan Wake 2, if it does ever exist, will be a multi-platform game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless Sony signs them to be the publisher on it, or Microsoft does go back and sign a short-term deal with them of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't rule that out.
I imagine they would want to go multi-platform just because there's so many 360 owners who are now solely in the PlayStation ecosystem.
That, and it costs so much money to develop any modern game that mm-hmm. you're going to cast as wide a net, as wide of a potential sales net.
That's the crazy thing about exclusives, is there's such this marquee approach to them, and yet they're pretty consistently, they sell worse than...
Well, that's not true. No. But they're kind of boom or bust, though.
Well, yes.
Because, like, Spider-Man, Insomniac Spider-Man on PS4, it's done, I think, 12... Last I saw was, like, 12 million, mm-hmm. something like that, on one platform. They're not even on a PC, the way that Xbox stuff goes to PC.
Right.
12 million PlayStation 4 copies. But if you have the full backing of... the platform holder, the game's great, and it strikes a chord. You know, if everything comes together, you don't need to be on three platforms.
Well, that's the crazy thing, is it takes so much to make that viable, right?
Yeah.
And which is why you see those marquee things coming out of first-party studios, because that's all they're working on.
Exactly.
They know it has to be great. Otherwise, they just wasted 4 years.
I mean,
not wasted.
There was a story I didn't put in here this week, but... An official at Square Enix mm-hmm. was saying, "Oh, we want our Marvel Avengers game to we hope it does better than Spider-Man."
Yeah,
we'll see about quality wise.
Yeah,
but sales wise, I would hope it does. Even speaking, regardless of outside of it being a total disaster of a video game, like if it's a half decent game, I would hope it outsells it. Because it's on three platforms, you would hope that with having the PC audience and the Xbox audience and the Avengers name behind it, you could equal the sales of Spider-Man on PS4.
Even if that game is a 7, right? Even if it's good, not great,
mm-hmm.
not terrible, the Marvel's Avengers name is huge, and it's nowhere near as bankable as Spider-Man, right?
Well,
I think maybe it is now. I still don't think so. I still think Spider-Man is probably the most bankable superhero outside of Batman and then maybe Superman.
Batman and Superman first, for sure.
You think? Over Spider-Man?
Absolutely. No, I would. I
think Spider-Man.
That'd be my 1-2.
I think it's Spider-Man, Batman, Superman, Avengers.
It's Batman and Superman are number 1 and 2.
Okay. Can you please show your work?
Fight.
This study's actually been done before.
Has it?
Yeah. I used to really be into comics, and like those are the two most recognizable superheroes, I believe. And the Marvel heroes, well, often more popular, like Wolverine's probably up there. Spider-Man's up there for sure. But I think DC gets the Superman, Batman.
We could probably just do a Google Trends for this.
I mean, anyway, it's beside the point.
Well, today there's a Spider-Man movie coming out today, so...
So I'll be right. So let's do it today.
Yeah, can we leave and go see that movie, actually?
I would love that, because I'm very excited to see that movie.
Me too.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's great. It doesn't mean anything today that Remedy has full control of Alan Wake back. But I will tell you that the topic of Alan Wake 2 came up in my July episode of IGN Unfiltered, which isn't going to air till later this month, but I shot it at E3 with Sam Lake from Remedy. So cat's out of the bag a little early on Unfiltered, which is fine.
You want to give us a little hint?
Well, I just did. We talked about Alan Wake too. Not that it's a thing that's happening.
A little hint about how his feelings on it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I, of course, had to ask him about it, and he gave me a very interesting answer.
Okay.
So, and again, you look at there are two projects that Remedy is on, because you have to remember, after their partnership fizzled, and I say that with no animosity or malice toward anyone, either Microsoft or Remedy, you know, they did split. They're working on multiple projects at Remedy now. They always used to be a single project studio. So they're working on the Smile Bit, Crossfire. I think it's that thing with Sega.
Oh yeah,
you know what I'm talking. It was at the Microsoft E3 conference.
Yeah, they showed a CG trailer of it.
Yeah,
it's not at all what the gameplay.
So they're doing, I think, the campaign part of that game first, and then another developer is doing the multiplayer, or it might have been vice versa. Mm-hmm. But so they're working on that and Control, which we're gonna have a lot more on Control very soon.
I have no memory of this from the E3 conference.
It was towards the end.
They're fighting
near the end of the conference.
Airline carrier, and then they get blown up and they land in the water, and it's also
for Remedy Crossfire. You got it?
I'm seeing sort of a GIF of the trailer. Anyway, when you said Crossfire, I immediately thought of that like Asian Counter-Strike clone, which has been the biggest game in the world forever. From 2007, but
oh yeah, no, I don't think it's that. But you know, I don't know what sort of the status of that is. I guess that's ongoing. But the Control team at Remedy is they're finishing up what I would consider seems like a AAA single player narrative driven game that'll be out at the end of August, and they've reacquired the publishing rights to Alan Wake. I would imagine that there's probably at least a small group of people at Remedy who is probably, if not in actual pre-production on their next game, they're narrowing down the list of options of what to do next. And Alan Wake 2 is back on the table.
They're at least exploring it, right?
I mean, I think they'd have to find to make sure someone's willing to publish it for them.
Sure.
Somebody's got to fund it.
I think it's got enough of brand awareness that it might. It's probably not going to be – I mean, it might not be an easy sell, but it's certainly sellable, right? There are enough publishers out there.
If they show cool gameplay, people will buy.
Yeah.
I know we just – go ahead.
Speaking of cool gameplay, even if Alan Wake 2 doesn't come out right, in the foreseeable future, there is something that's very, very similar to it in that the that new Blair Witch Project game – that would debut during E3.
Yes, with the German Shepherd.
With the German Shepherd, who apparently is a major part of that game.
Speaking my language.
He's
right
a
now.
Good boy and an important boy.
Did we hear more about it?
There was a news story.
It's out August 30th, and we haven't seen a thing.
It's Blooper?
Because they're
Bloop.
Bloober. Probably, right. Blooper team.
But I mean,
there wasn't on the show floor, and there were no behind closed doors demos. Correct. Yeah.
Correct. They were shopping around like live show appearances and stuff, but they didn't have an editorial.
Hit me up for how scary it is.
Good as that trailer was, the fact that they unveiled it at E3, it's out on August 30th, and they didn't show anyone the game at E3 raises a bit of a red flag for
me. I imagine we'll see it at Gamescom.
It'll be coming out like a week later by the time we get to Gamescom.
Yeah.
Maybe Comic-Con they'll show something?
Unless it's delayed. I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, it's just a strange... I mean, again, I agree. I thought the trailer looked fantastic.
Yeah, that runway doesn't look
but
good,
it's,
does
but
it?
But yeah, it's just like this not... It's like having a first trailer for a movie like 2 months before it drops and then not showing anything else.
Well, maybe they want a short marketing cycle. I don't know.
Maybe the game's good, but their marketing budget is non-existent.
That could be.
You know what I mean?
But, I mean, you know, it strikes all the same chords, right? You're a dude. You're walking in the woods. You got a flashlight. Mm-hmm. Lots of spooky stuff.
It looks great.
This time they're also introducing the sort of Outlast camcorder thing. And there was a dev diary.
I wanted to know if it was Red Barrels because that's who did Outlast.
Did Outlast?
I don't know if they've changed their name since then, but really, really interested to see how they incorporate that mechanic in this game.
But they're saying like the camcorder will be used in sort of like a puzzle element, a puzzle capacity. There's a dev diary online, but they're saying like you look through it and the world sort of either changes or reacts based on what you're seeing through it.
Interesting.
And that's solely because Blair Witch was all about found footage, so they really wanted to incorporate the camcorder in an interesting way.
I want to watch Blair Witch again.
I don't. I saw it once in theaters.
It's not scary. The kids are annoying.
It's not super scary, but...
Once you know it's not real, the kids are super annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But with Alan Wake...
Dustin, they died.
They did not die.
Have some respect.
With Alan Wake 2, I mean, I could see Microsoft trying to get a nice PR win and getting their fans fired up. It's like, okay, it's quick aside. The studio acquisitions have all been great. When was the last time, for real, that Xbox fans got super, super fired up for a new game? I mean, I guess Halo.
Gears.
But, yes, we're all excited about it. I'm talking, but a ripple through the industry kind of excited.
The world
like,
over.
Like a yeah. Death Stranding kind of excited.
Mm.
Like, you know what I mean?
Halo 3.
It's been a while. It's been a while. And so, you know, and Alan Wake 2, I'm not saying it's a Kojima kind of level thing, but
I think that's an industry problem. I don't know if that's an Xbox.
Yeah, I don't want to get off in the weeds.
Well, if you think about it, like Last of Us, people get really excited for it.
Yeah.
Death Stranding, totally new IP, trying something new, artistic. Nobody really knows what the hell that game is, so yeah, they're excited. But other than that, it's like first-person shooter, third-person top-down.
Right.
We know the genres now, and everybody just develops
right.
into
Nobody's
boxes.
Fired up about Crackdown. Nobody's fired up about, you know, like, again,
people were, but...
on a No, but not on a like mass scale. You know, Alan Wake, I could, you know, if Microsoft came back in and said, okay, well, hey, Remedy, we know you've got the rights to this back, but, you know, hey, we'd love to just make an arrangement. We'd love to do Alan Wake.
Second party.
I'd say the last time we saw a spark that kind of ripped through the industry was the Battle Royale
Project
genre.
Spark.
Battle Royale genre.
But yeah, just with Microsoft specifically, though, I'm talking.
Microsoft specifically.
Sony.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spider-Man Halo 3, was one of those moments.
God of War.
Yeah.
Last of Us 2.
No, we haven't had a experience like that in a long time.
And so that's what I'm saying. Like, Alan Wake 2 could be a nice, like, spark to light a fire under the Xbox community.
It would.
I don't know, man. I don't think that brand is big enough. Even if it comes out and it looks amazing,
it has to be like Naughty Dog caliber Alan Wake storytelling.
I'll keep going though. Sony, there was a story this week, you know, because this is an Xbox show, but Sony made a statement this week, sort of talking about PS5, that they said, "Hey, content is king, and we are open to mergers and acquisitions."
Sony said that.
Yeah. So
it's because Xbox laid everybody up.
What if Sony goes in and makes Remedy? You know, Remedy has made Sony kind of games, single player, narrative driven games for many, many years and done it well. What if Sony goes in and, you know, Microsoft has bought 8 studios?
What if
Sony goes in and says to Remedy and makes them a great offer? And what if they just buy Remedy and then Alan Wake 2 is a PlayStation 5 exclusive? It could happen.
Well, then what if for Remedy?
Could happen. Yeah, good for them.
What if Xbox buys PlayStation?
Dun, dun, dun.
Is Microsoft going to buy Nintendo? that's
they're buddy buddy now.
And then
that's not
and
happen.
Then Tencent buys them all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nexon.
Oh my! Not Nexon. They don't have that Tencent money.
Yeah. Who's the
Tencent and NetEase are the big guys?
Oh, is that who I'm thinking of?
Maybe. NetEase is
who's the other the massive
dropped $100 million on
the other Tencent. Massive one, not Tencent, but the other one,
NetEase, right?
NetEase,
yeah,
yeah, the two like mega conglomerate, like beyond wealthy,
yeah. They like
Tencent's really big.
They secretly
own. Tencent owns a chunk of Activision. They own a chunk of
Riot,
Epic,
yes,
yeah,
Riot. They have a
actually.
Like,
I think they own the majority of Riot now. I think
Tencent has like a 5% stake in Tesla.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, Tencent is a unbelievably wealthy and powerful company in the gaming industry and beyond.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're getting way off track.
I didn't realize they were outside the game industry now.
We're like 53 minutes.
Yeah, way off track here. All right, we'll just buzz through these real quick. EA executives are giving up their bonuses for fiscal 2019 after a disappointing year.
Why were they getting bonuses this year?
Cool.
Because how this country works. And
they fire 300 people, have a massive failure in quarter one and quarter two. Big bonuses for everybody. Yeah,
seven-figure bonuses.
Asshole.
Well, at that level of...
Sorry.
At that level of corporate structure...
Whoops.
Don't apologize for it.
At that level of the corporate structure, a bonus is built into the job.
It is.
Right? Yeah.
So. Yeah. It's a disgusting age of capitalism, that at least that part of it.
I don't care about this at all. Like Destin said, they fire hundreds of employees, and this is a 100%.
Yeah, no, and PR. Believe me,
it's PR. And I felt tricked when I tweeted out, and I'm a little salty about it.
I mean, I'm not celebrating them by mentioning this.
Not at all, but
it's more just to bring attention to the issue itself of like, why should you give it up? You just shouldn't get it.
Yeah.
Because you had a disappointing year.
Well, yeah, because it's built into their contract.
Listen to this.
I would say abysmal year.
As detailed in a summary of EA's business on the US the SEC website, CEO Andrew Wilson and his executive staff have elected to not receive the monetary bonuses they would typically be paid as part of EA's pay for performance compensation philosophy. Elected. It's okay. It's all right. Like, you shouldn't get it.
They're still making
millions. If your company doesn't perform to the expectations that you and your shareholders have set, it shouldn't be I'll be the good guy and I'll just pass on that bonus. Like, no, that's not how life should work.
Yeah.
But it does. Unfortunately, that's the way our current setup works.
EA and Activision have been doing some gross stuff for a long time, and it's catching up to them finally. Their stocks are doing poor.
It's cyclical.
You know?
When I first started, I did a news story with Mitch Dyer about how EA is turning things around now. So it's all cyclical. Every couple of years, there's a new bad guy.
I mean, we'll see. I mean, it's all we can do. I would like to see, what I think will happen is that Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order will be a very good to excellent game that sells very good to excellently. And then EA goes back to never making games like that again, meaning single-player, story-driven games with no monetary hooks in them.
How much longer do they have the license?
EA stock's down 27% for the year, but they're still like $100 a share.
But the 27% down year over year definitely matters.
36% for Activision the past year.
Wow.
Yeah.
But what I want to see happen is, because, you know, yeah, we all get kind of cynical. The community gets cynical of like, oh, yeah, EA is EA. They're always going to be terrible. But I'm a big sports fan.
Mm-hmm.
And you can always – sports franchises can be historically terrible until they're not.
Yeah.
Until someone comes along, usually at the top, an ownership or a leadership change, and suddenly there's a culture – the culture changes. The New England Patriots were pretty much embarrassing.
Abysmal.
Until Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick came along.
I mean, look at the Golden State Warriors.
The Warriors were...
They have a history of below par.
Joe LaCobb and that ownership group comes in and they install Steve Kerr and, you know, they develop the player development of Curry and Clay and all these guys. And the Cubs... The most historically inept team ever until the Ricketts family comes in and invests a bunch of money in the team and puts they hire what's his face? Epstein, Theo Epstein from the Red Sox.
Mm-hmm.
And the curse is broken and now they're like perennially a good team. So the point being, I hope that maybe Jedi Fallen Order is the start of them actually making more consumer-friendly AAA games without garbage laced through them.
Whatever they did with Apex worked.
I think
your hands out of the creative side.
Right, and I'm not saying they're not going to just altogether stop making microtransaction-y games. Those will always exist, but hopefully they will be it'll be a much more balanced portfolio than it is now.
Stop forcing Frostbite.
In my opinion.
That too.
In my opinion, well,
if I were named CEO of EA tomorrow, that would be my first order of business is message to all development teams. Use whatever technology you want.
Mm-hmm.
If we need to pay a licensing fee to Epic or to whoever, we'll We'll work that out for you.
Mass Effect was developed in that engine, the Unreal Engine.
Until Andromeda, and that game had problems that weren't simply technical in nature. But
how many failures do you need because of that engine before you're just like, okay.
You're so right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be my first move as EA CEO.
Billion-dollar failures, probably.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, all right, yeah, sure, keep making people use it.
Yeah. Anyway.
Knock yourself out, buddy.
What were we saying?
Just being salty about EA, little salt session. About
EA. I wanted to be clear. Like, I don't want to just succumb to the typical knee-jerk internet response. Like, I hope that not taking the bonus thing is stupid. Yeah. But at least they're not doing it. It would be even more gross. It's less gross than if they had just taken it.
I mean, that's what happens in every company.
But like,
looking
at you, Bobby.
You know what's stupid though?
let's not call people out.
I'll call Bobby Kodak out all day long. Brandon.
What's stupid though?
Don't call me out.
If they had taken the bonuses, it wouldn't even be a news story because it was just built in. It's only that they didn't and actually did the quote unquote right thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a news story and we're now complaining about it. So they can't win, but I'm not saying they deserve to win. But it's like,
to be fair,
rocking a hard place.
Didn't they make a press release about the fact that they didn't take the bonuses? Is this an investigation?
You know what? I confess I grabbed the story off of IGN, so wherever we reported it from. I'm not sure. I mean,
while we are disappointed with our fiscal 2019 results, we understand the challenges we face, and we will continue to focus on how we can apply the strengths of our company to capitalize on our opportunities. The report states.
I don't think it was a press release because it did say a summary of EA's business on the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission website. So
it's not
a press release. It is a mandatory financial government report filing.
Yeah, Andrew Wilson also sold a whole bunch of stocks, so he still got millions of dollars this year. Don't worry. He's okay. I put that tweet out, and everybody had all these facts that I had missed, and I felt like a chump.
Well, we're human. We're not perfect. Okay.
You know, the only thing I'll say about it is I think respectfully – mm-hmm. My opinion is that Star Wars is going to be good. And
I think so, too.
I'm excited to see it, and I'm excited by the prospect that games like that are now on the table at EA. I think if stock is down 27% year over year, the first thing they do is lean into what works for them, which is FIFA Ultimate Team, which is...
Yeah, Madden Ultimate Team.
Madden Ultimate Team. They are going to double down because at the end of the day, these are companies, are corporations that are beholden to a room full of people that make the decisions based on how much more money can they get year over year.
And the reality is the Ubisofts with the Yves Guillemots of the world are the exception where they have a genuine, no BS, like care for the creatives and the creative process, whereas Bobby Kotick's on complete opposite end of that spectrum, where it is shamelessly, there's no care for the creatives or the creative side, and it's a pure business.
It's a machine,
and they're not. They make no
qualms about it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
and I mean it boils down to ultimately, it's up to the consumer, right?
That's right. I mean, we vote with your wallets become kind of a cliche kind of thing, but it does matter. Mm-hmm. It does work if enough people do it.
Yeah, it does. Because at the end of the day, those businesses that operate like that, like machines, totally within their right to do it. Mm-hmm. Corporations exist for the purpose of making money more often than not. Right. I think there are some that exist to actually have a positive impact on the world. But by and large, a company's job is to make money for the company. So, creative goes in, money comes out.
And that's why I'm hoping if Jedi Fallen Order turns out very well, I played it. It felt really good.
Wait, you played it?
I'm very jealous.
Yeah, read about it on IGN.com.
That's right, yeah.
No, but I got to – I mean, yeah, because I was our judge. But I got to – I did also able to – I wrote about that experience.
Oh, no, I know. I totally forgot. I was like – I could have played it at E3 because I watched the hands-off part. I'm like, wait, you're a judge. That's right.
You could have watched me play.
Yeah.
We only had a couple opportunities to play it at E3. So.
Yeah. But
thanks a lot, Brian.
If it indeed turns out well, and so far so good, I do genuinely hope people vote with their wallet and show EA that, like, oh yeah, like, look, this kind of game can be super successful.
Yeah,
we'll see.
I don't know. It has one of those stories.
Surprise mechanic.
Yeah. Speaking of which, you're talking about Battle Royale a few minutes ago, Destin.
Yeah.
They don't have stories because that's not what they're about.
Hmm.
Until now.
Oh.
Sort of. So Glenn Schofield, co-creator of Dead Space,
mm-hmm.
and co-studio head with Michael Condrey at Sledgehammer up until earlier this year on, or late last year, I guess. You know, the Call of Duty games they made, they helped finish Modern Warfare 3, but really their Call of Duties were Advanced Warfare and Call of Duty World War II.
Right. They were support on a lot of them before that, right?
Well, on Modern Warfare 3,
Advanced Warfare?
No, that was their game.
That was their game. Yeah. Right. Okay.
But anyway, so, you know, Glenn and Condrey were out, and Condrey started. We talked about the new Silicon Valley 2K studio. Glenn Schofield has set up shop with PUBG Corp. This is interesting. PUBG Corporation announced the news today that Schofield will be building a, quote, world-class development team from the ground up to help create a new narrative experience within the PUBG universe. The new studio will be located in San Ramon, California, which is just here back, in the East Bay.
Yeah, I was reading this and I was cheated and I read ahead and I was like, oh, San Ramon, that's like right there.
It's not far. Glenn Schofield, former VP and general manager of Sledgehammer and Visceral, who was instrumental in blah, 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 has been named the head of the studio, which is being called Striking Distance. And they will be creating an original narrative experience within the PUBG universe. He says, throughout my career, I've had a lot of opportunities to make some remarkable games and tell incredible stories, and each of them has meant something special to me. But now those learnings will help me build a AAA team that can explore new designs and concepts at Striking Distance. As a creative, the freedom to explore the PUBG universe has me excited about the possibilities, which I view as beyond the Battle Royale genre. So a single-player PUBG with a narrative-driven campaign from the guy who did Dead Space and the last couple pretty good Call of Duties.
Yeah.
That there's a lot to be optimistic about right there.
Definitely. Yeah.
Glenn's track record is very good.
It is.
He's I've met him a number of times over the years. He's a very passionate, very creative guy. He's an artist on the side. He's had art shows for his personal art, and I like the sound of this a lot.
So are they like building a new studio or are they setting up shop like behind the Chipotle in San Ramon? San Ramon's not big.
A AAA team was going to mean a lot of people.
Yeah. They have an office space that's largely been vacant. Maybe they're like, I know the town really well. I lived there when I moved to California for like 4 years. It's a small town, so I'm just sort of intrigued about the logistics of where they're going to be working.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, drive on by and let us know. Go scout it out. Yeah. See if you see any big name developers going in there for job interviews that we can secretly report on.
Yeah.
Day 7 of the stakeout.
At the In-N-Out parking lot.
But this is what's interesting to me about this is almost kind of the opposite of first-person shooter trends right now. The trend is to go towards the Battle Royale, towards the multiplayer experience, away from the campaign narrative experience. And
Apex just launched their Battle Pass today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now PUBG, I mean, they're obviously they're not walking away from the Battle Royale genre, but now with this studio, they're looking to go the other way and have a narrative-driven campaign experience, which you're speaking my language right now.
Yeah. What happened with PUBG is PUBG was fantastic. It may still be. I've really been itching to actually hop in and just see what it's like today. The problem is Call of Duty launched, and it's basically PUBG but really polished. And that hurt PUBG a lot, I think. So now you have these two franchises that are similar, or two battle royales that are similar in visual style, and one's just way more solidified of an idea.
You know, I hadn't thought about it till you said it that way, and that's like it's effectively as if PUBG is as Call of Duty encroached on their multiplayer space,
mm-hmm.
they are now encroaching on Call of Duty's campaign space, And
that's interesting. Yeah, I didn't think
right?
of that.
The bar in recent years overall for Call of Duty campaigns is not very high.
Yeah.
I mean, again,
the last one being created by Glenn Schofield.
That's right. And it was good. I really enjoyed World War II campaign. I wouldn't call it great. I'd say it was good to very good. And same with Advanced Warfare. There wasn't a campaign last year. I didn't like Infinite Warfare's campaign. I know a lot of people did, though, so I don't want to pass that. I don't want to gloss over that. But, yeah, I mean, kind of coming at Call of Duty here in a roundabout way, mm-hmm. which I'm all for it. If Glenn Schofield and Striking Distance ends up giving me the Call of Duty campaign that we should have had the last number of years, I'm all for it.
I think if you play PUBG, that is not the same shooter as Call of Duty, right?
No, certainly not.
I think that looks more like maybe an Arma campaign.
You may very well be right.
I mean, it's an Arma mod, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, yes.
like a one shot, one kill,
like
large all, scale,
like think all gillied up the game, right?
Right. Well, okay, yeah. Great.
I'm down. And it's set in Russia, right? Isn't it? Isn't PUBG, yeah. theoretically?
Pachinki.
That's cool. I'll be great if this essentially works out to be Stalker again.
Oh, yeah. You know? Yeah, that sounds good.
Is the new Call of Duty, I didn't play it and I haven't read too much, but is that a campaign?
Yes,
Yeah.
That was the whole divisive thing, right?
Yeah. And then Naughty Dog X writers are working on it or something.
I gotta catch up on the facts.
Yeah, Taylor and forget the other gentleman's name that are the two narrative leads on it. Mm. But yes, it is. Read all about it on IGN.com.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. Hopefully, this is going to be the year for the first truly great Call of Duty campaign in many years. I think for me, the last genuinely great Call of Duty campaign, for me, it's probably Black Ops 1. And I know a lot of people like Black Ops 2. I did not like that campaign. I thought it was kind of hackneyed and not that great.
I agree.
But
I know people are going to shit all over me for this, but I still think Black Ops 1 is probably my favorite multiplayer in the series.
Favorite multiplayer.
The campaign was really good, too.
I think
I love the time jumping.
I think I would still give Modern Warfare 1, Call of Duty 4.
Call of Duty 4, yeah.
I think that's probably still, I think, the best campaign that's ever been in the series.
I think so. I'll agree with that.
But I would actually put Black Ops 1's campaign, for me, that's the second best campaign. Mm.
I think
the whole thing with Mason and the numbers and the ending of that game.
Yeah.
Like there were a lot of great missions, the SR-71 Blackbird, but the ending, I guess spoiler time's way up, but the twist with JFK was so good. This little like stinger at the end, yeah. Like, oh, really?
It delivered in a way like really good spy movies do,
yes.
Where you think you know what's going on the entire time, and then you find out not only are you wrong, but you're so wrong that you stop and think like, oh my god, I need to watch this again, right? But Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare had, I think you're right, hands down, probably the best campaign.
I mean, one of your protagonists is flying to a battle zone in a helicopter,
yeah.
A friggin' nuke goes off, your chopper goes down, and you crawl out and die.
Yeah, I don't remember if the... That's such a good moment. I don't remember if the Sum of All Fears, the Tom Clancy movie starring
Ben Affleck
was before or after that.
They actually set the nuke off?
Yeah, they actually set the nuke off and the chopper goes down.
Yeah.
It had to have been after, because I think I remember... Or maybe I just saw it after, but I remember thinking like... Stole that from Call of Duty. that campaign was fantastic. And then they introduced like the AC-130 levels where it was just
the gunship.
Like everyone had seen it. Everyone had seen that footage from Operation Desert Storm and Desert Shield. The first time you actually have that power at your fingertips, I remember thinking like, this is very, like the ability to kill someone from a mile away. Not just kill someone, but destroy a town from, you know, up in the heavens. Like I remember thinking just like, oh god, this is really irresponsible.
It was also just great game design because you were just subverting player expectations and just throwing in some variety to the gameplay.
Yeah.
Oh, all of a sudden I'm like, just I'm up here. Basically, I'm God bombing people.
Yeah. Yeah. But did either of you feel that way? And maybe it was just me, but I remember thinking like, oh my God, I can end this person's life and they have no idea that A, they're being watched, or B, it's coming, or any of that.
Nah, I was just in video game mode. I mean, it was a purely fictional story. It's
for sure. Like, I'm not.
If it had been framed as like, well, remember. Konami was going to make that game that they announced and then canceled a month later, the Fallujah game. Yes.
Oh.
Like, that would have been, if I mean, that would have, they were wise to cancel it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, as a pure work of fiction, it didn't affect me at all.
I mean, I didn't write any poetry about it or anything, but I remember feeling a sense of responsibility that, like, goddamn, you know? This isn't quite the mechanic.
Anyway, okay, so Destin, your job is to infiltrate striking distance.
There's an in and out there. I'm on it.
Your job is to get within striking distance.
There's a Dairy Queen like
report
10 minutes away.
And just keep us up to speed on what's going on.
My kind of mission. Peanut Buster Parfaits for life.
All right, we got to get out of here. But before I do, Cuphead. So at E3 last year, 2018, they announced a DLC expansion, The Delicious Last Course, new bosses, new, you know, a whole bunch of new stuff. They had just said 2019. Well, here we are in summer 2019, and Studio MDHR came out today and said, nope, sorry, 2020. So we got to wait a bit longer for that expansion, but it is because it A, just needed more time, and B, is for the health of the studio, because the studio, of course, the Moldenhauer family, and then a handful of other folks that work with them said, the development of the original game taught us a great deal about the importance of making things in a way that's healthy and sustainable for our team. With that in mind, we're taking a page right out of Chef Saltbaker's book. That's seemingly the protagonist or antagonist, rather, in the expansion, and spending the time necessary to get the recipe just right. So we're moving the release of The Delicious Last Course for all platforms to 2020. Good. I mean, we don't want them to suffer in their work-life balances just so we can play their, you know, play some more Cuphead a few months sooner.
I disagree. I don't want them to see their families finish the game.
Oh, man.
No, that's fine. I think Meathead had, or sorry, Super Meat Boy
Meathead
had to do this all.
I love you. That's the crossover we need.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cuphead and Super Meat Boy.
Yeah.
Meathead. Voiced by Jack Black.
Chad.
That could be cool. I don't know.
Super Meathead?
Yeah.
All right.
And the reality, too, is it's not as if, from a business perspective, it's not as if Cuphead, it's not as if they've got like a ton of momentum riding off of the release, and they're risking losing that momentum. It's like, right. No, I mean, it was, you know, the game came out almost 2 years ago.
Right.
So, you know, whenever it comes out, it will probably be in this, you know, sort of same place with people in people's minds that it would have if it had come out this year.
They just had to rehand draw everything on the Switch. So, you know, give them a break. That's how it works, right?
That's exactly it. You are so good at game development. Why do you still work here? You should be a game developer.
Yeah.
You know everything about making video games. But best wishes to Studio MDHR. Happy to play that whenever it's done, because we live in a gilded age where there are no shortage of video games, brand new video games at any time. So there's no rush, no need to kill yourselves to get Cuphead's expansion out there. All right, we got to roll, but July Games with Gold Inside, all month long, the rightful 2016 Game of the Year. Sorry, Overwatch. Sorry, Doom. It's my Game of the Year from 2016. I had Garrett Young. I don't know if he's listening to this. He was one of the leads on Doom 2016 at id Software. He replied to, I tweeted this, and he replied, and he was like, no love for Doom 2016? Aw, come on, man. And I kind of got the sense, like, I think he was serious. Like, dude.
Because loved it.
I love Doom.
You were like the biggest Doom champion.
Yes. I will say this right now. We're a team of individual people. We don't always agree with each other, and that's a good thing, and that's the point. We're not just a Borg collective.
We gave it to Overwatch that year, didn't we?
Well, the game of the year we did, yeah. And that's fine. That's what people voted for. It's not what I voted for. But I will say, if Garrett's listening, and to anyone else, I would have given Doom. I wish I'd been able to do our Doom review. I would have given it a much higher score than IGN.
I remember that review.
Just let it go.
It's
I won't talk about it.
Yeah. See? You just see? That's we're a collection of different voices and opinions.
Yeah.
Dissenting opinions.
Doom was tremendous, but no, Inside was my game of the year for 2016. It was unreal. So play it. It's 3 hours long, and it's free if you're a gold subscriber, which I suspect just about everybody listening to this podcast is.
And it has one of the most shocking ending parts. It's not like the end of the game, but it's
weird.
Is.
Yes. It, well,
get ready.
It's what? Just it will leave you will be thinking about Inside long after you've finished the game.
Also,
in a good way.
Speaking of, did that thing ever arrive?
No, they sent out they're still working on it.
It's still
they're
coming.
Still working on
it's
it.
It's still coming together.
They're put
still,
a bunch of rubber together.
They're still testing it. You know what I'm saying?
No, gross.
It's a family show, right?
It's not anymore.
No, I guess not.
Don't forget to mention Castlevania also. Get that from July 1st to the 15th.
Which one?
Symphony
is
of the Night.
Symphony?
Yeah.
Yeah, 360 game that's obviously everything, all the games with gold are backwards compatible. And then in the middle of the month, Big Crown Showdown takes over.
Ah, yes.
Okay. And then on 360, but compatible on Xbox One, July 16th to the 31st, Meet the Robinsons, which was a like Disney movie tie-in game. So play Inside.
I have no memory.
It's for kids.
Yeah. Do it. All right. Super late. Real quick. I'm going to save loot. We'll just go do loot box next time. But trivia, I'll give you guys a chance here. Ankeet from Bloomingdale, Illinois, thank you so much for writing in. Which of these third-party developers appeared in the intro video played at the Xbox One reveal in May of 2013?
Reveal.
We were talking about this very event earlier in the show.
You weren't there, right? It was Ryan?
No, Mitch. I was there. I didn't go. Mitch went.
Mitch went.
Yeah. I was there.
You were there? Do you remember this?
No, but they gave us stupid bracelets or something we were supposed to wear. I remember that.
This isn't about bracelets.
Okay, man.
But
I always try and do experiential things, and I hate it. I hate being a puppet.
Don't start me on the space poncho thing from the Kinect reveal. Well, it's another show.
I mean, hey, at least they didn't usher you from big tent to big tent.
Right.
Yeah. More lessons to be learned.
Destin Cranky is one of my favorite things in the world.
I was at that one, too.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Hey, you have to wear this bracelet. I'm not wearing a bracelet. I don't even wear lanyards at events. I put them in my back pocket, and if somebody asks to see them, I show them. But I'm not wearing a branded lanyard. I hate that. It's a big pet peeve of mine.
So this is a good question from Ankeet here. And I admit, I did not know this one because I think I've blacked out most of that Xbox One reveal event.
It was a lot of magic.
Well, remember there was that,
is this
like
the Kinect one? Like, bam?
No. This is the TV thing.
Yeah.
But Kinect was part of it.
They had like every...
Yeah, Kudos and Otto was on the stage.
They had the heads of like every vertical there representing it.
Right. And I was just going to say,
They had Bonnie Ross there as well, talking about Halo.
But remember, a guy that got a bunch of stage time was the TV guy.
Yeah. Was he the guy that dressed in all black?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's like that. He's like disappeared. I don't know if he still works at Microsoft, if he left, but like that guy was, I don't think he was ever seen again.
You know who else disappeared? The guy
Don
before
Matrick. Yeah.
He went to Zynga.
Yeah.
And then I think he's out of Zynga now.
He literally disappeared.
No, he golden parachuted out into Canada, where he's from.
Yeah.
And he has not been publicly heard from.
So he went to Zynga. They gave him a big sign-on bonus Zynga.
And I'm not kidding about the golden parachute. Yeah. He got tens of millions of dollars to leave.
Where do the ultra-rich settle down in Canada?
Probably Vancouver.
Toronto, Vancouver.
Yeah. I mean the big city, right? Yeah, but there's nothing like, I don't know, where do rich people in America? So,
oh, well,
like
if
Hamptons
Toronto or Vancouver, I guess.
According to Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, it's like some giant mansion with a whole underground like dinosaur cage thing going on.
Yeah, we have lots of those though.
Don't watch that movie. It's
just
so
kidding.
Bad.
Probably Vancouver. You're probably right. West Coast is more.
Anyway.
You know the Toronto Raptors he's from Vancouver, aren't I'm actual
oh,
Raptors.
He went to Vancouver then. Yes. Yeah.
He's from – it's fine.
Okay. what's the question?
The question is this. So what – there were some big names that showed up in like a sizzle video thing of like, here comes the Xbox One. And it, you had
– I like that.
Right?
I like that a lot.
I'm available to host the Scarlet reveal. Todd Howard, was he in there?
My anaconda.
Hideo Kojima, was he in there? Vince Zampella, was he in there? Keiji Inafune, did he make an appearance in that? So it was one of those four.
What do you have an idea?
I did not know, so I would have gotten this wrong, or I'd be guessing.
I don't know. I can imagine two or three. There's only one person on this list I can imagine not having been there, and it's probably the person, but
who?
Pick first.
You pick first.
No, do you know?
It's great radio, you guys.
I don't know, but I have a very strong suspicion.
I'm going to say B, Hideo Kojima.
You fool. I'm going to say C, Vince Zampella, because that was right when Titanfall was being hyped up.
Oh, yeah. Damn it.
Yeah, I mean, Todd always has had a great relationship with Microsoft. He's done a lot with them. Inafune, of course, Dead Rising, and he's done a ton of stuff.
Oh, crap. I could see Todd doing the Skyrim thing because Oblivion was so huge on the 360.
The reason I said Kojima is because it would have been weird to see Kojima on Xbox.
Yeah, that's true, too, like courting the sort of Japanese game development market.
And Metal Gear came out there, so yeah.
Well, Destiny is exactly correct.
God! Yes!
It was indeed Kojima.
Broke the streak! Son of a...
This is the first time anybody's gotten on the board in a while.
Yeah.
You see here.
Bam! That's for you.
Whatever.
Ankit said, P.S. This is for Destin. Bam.
Where is...
I hope I said his name right. A-N-K-E-E-T. Anyway, thanks, dude.
Huh. Oh, there it is. Okay.
Where's Destin's? I can't find
Destin.
Two.
Who? What's the standing? I don't think.
Destin, 6 points. Miranda, 4. Brandon, 3.
Nice. Okay.
Whoa.
So.
Also,
I'm not on a lot of episodes either.
It's all.
Also,
very
I wasn't on Unlocked for like 8 weeks. So.
Okay.
What do you mean, okay? You're welcome for a smooth E3 schedule, you big dingus.
So, all right, we didn't get you anything special for Unlocked 400, but we did get you an hour and 25-minute episode, which is a good bit longer than usual.
I'm so hungry.
By the way, if you have an Unlocked Block trivia question, please send it in to unlocked@ign.com. Need 4 multiple-choice answers. Note the correct one in your email. Always looking for good Xbox trivia questions that I can try to stump these guys with every week. All right, we're done.
Yeah.
We did it. 400 episodes.
Let's get out of here.
We were all on all 400. We're doing some revisionist history.
I've probably been on like 300 of them. If you started around 50, started around 100.
Yeah, you asked on fairly early on in my time because it was me and Mitch. Who was our fourth when you came on? That was Marty, wasn't it?
Was Marty always there? I honestly don't know. I wanted to say that, but...
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, so
it's... It was somebody else.
It's a good...
Was Steve still here?
He wasn't on Unlocked, though, but yes.
Yeah, no, he wasn't on anything.
But anyway.
Oh, my God, dude. That's so long ago.
So...
I think it was me, you, Mitch, and Marty.
Sounds about right. Yeah, almost 350 of these for me, somewhere in that neighborhood, coming up on it. Quite a number for you. You're getting up there.
I guess.
Been on for like a year and change now, right?
You said that like you're dead inside.
It was early last year.
No, full disclosure, about 40 minutes ago, I smashed my finger and pinched it in the chair.
Oh!
Hurts like hell and it's bleeding all over the place.
Oh,
so. Oh God, it is.
So I'm just...
Happy 400, Brandon.
I'm just quietly squeezing it and trying not to scream into the mic right now. I think April of last year, I want to say.
Okay.
April of... I don't even know
whatever year it is.
I'm dead.
What
inside.
Year is it?
You were right. You guessed it right. Give Destin a point. I'm dead inside.
We did it.
Yeah.
Remember when they kicked me off for like a week? That was fun.
For what?
No, I'm just kidding. Oh. It's this dumb thing that happened, and it lasted like an hour.
Okay.
No one even remembers.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
The thing about inside jokes is they only work if there are other people inside.
The
with
viewers
you.
Might know.
Hey, I forgot to play the Unlock Block segment.
Oh, God.
Here, bye, everybody.
Playing it. No. Just roll with it for a minute. For 8 seconds. I got to get used to putting the bumpers back in again. All right.
Castle.
What are you putting your finger on the button for? What
it's
are you
the outro button. Ryan's about to do the outro.
And what happens when you press that?
It plays the outro, and then I stop recording, and then I have my file for the video version.
And people,
if you would have attended my training seminar with this very incredibly easy to use Stream Deck,
here's the thing: I did like 18 months ago. I did.
Anyway, you can follow me on Twitter at @DMC_Ryan. I don't have anything fun to talk about right now, I guess.
Thanks for tuning in,
no
guys.
No content.
I don't know why you do.
It's fine. Brandon?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at Brandon Tyrell. I don't have anything fun, except I need a Band-Aid right now, and...
we should get you some medical attention.
We are in full-on Gamescom prep, so I'm going to disappear for another 4 weeks, I'm sure.
I'm going to Florida,
yes.
And I am checking out GuardianCon. The crew over there raised $3.7 million for sick kids.
Yes.
For St. Jude's Hospital. Congratulations.
That
and
is really
I didn't
cool.
tell you guys this. I've been meaning to tell you.
You got married. We got it.
I got married. No. The Halo experience is going to be there.
Yeah.
Park.
Yeah.
Oh, and CJ and I are going to go, and we're going to film it
Thank
and cover
God.
It. It happens to overlap.
Yes.
And
awesome.
I emailed PR, and I'm like, we happen to be there on your first reveal. Can we do some footage? So be you looking for that on IGN, and if you're say hi.
When you get back, we're going to talk all about it on Unlock, because I think it's only in, I want to say, six or so cities, and not this one.
I think it comes to
not,
L.A.
They're not coming here.
But it'll be Orlando. I think L.A. is one of them.
I think it's in Anaheim.
Austin is one of them. Like 6 months ago, maybe 4 months ago, we were talking about this.
When they announced it.
Yeah. When can we fly out and intersect one of them in a city?
Yeah.
But that's so cool. I actually saw
that's
the press
great.
Release yesterday, and I was like,
We will look forward to talking to you about that on Unlocked. So are you gone next week?
I'm gone the 4th to the 8th, and then I'm back for that preview event that you have Stella and I going to.
So wait, what's today's the 2nd? Oh, so you'll be back for next week's show.
I'll be back Tuesday, but
you're
leaving
over the 4th of July, huh? Both you and Miranda have to work over 4th of July. That's
terrible. Well, my wife's coming. We're trying to make a little thing.
Oh, cool. Well, that's good.
And also, GuardianCon's just more like go hang out with a bunch of Destiny fans.
Nice. Yeah.
We do a Fireteam chat there live. You know, that's on the 6th at 3:30, I believe. And yeah.
Sweet.
Fran's going to be there. Steven's going.
Great. Well, look forward to – hope you have fun with that. And are you going to do Disney World while you're there?
Nope. No. It's terrible that time of year. It's too hot.
Yeah.
I did it last year, Ryan, and it was awful. It was the worst thing. I'll never do Disney World again. People say to do Epcot because it's apparently
– I've only ever been to Disney World once, but it was 20 years ago.
It felt like the same park but bigger.
Huh.
Same as like Disney.
Like more spread out, bigger.
Yeah.
And
like
I guess,
can't imagine.
Galaxy's Edge isn't open there yet. It's only open in California.
Here. I'd argue this park's better right now.
Well, I think it opens in Florida in a month or two.
I like Disneyland better than Disney World.
Well, we'll save that for a different show. It's already been an hour and a half.
It also doesn't have the humidity.
That's the problem.
I did go to Disneyland once, and it was too hot. I got to the gate, and I'm like, I'm not spending $90 to go in just to get heat stroke.
Yeah.
So I ended up not doing it.
I can do that for free.
No, I ended up not doing it. I can only imagine Orlando is 10 times worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. No, looking forward to talking to you then next week's show about the Halo experience.
Yeah.
That's really cool. So with that, for Destin and Brandon, I'm Ryan. This was Unlocked 400. Stick with us for the next 400. And we'll see you next week.
Bye, buddy.
Bye.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's H-Y-P-E-R-T-H-E-T-I-C-A-L.